On the Warpath, written by James Willard Schultz, narrated by Clelo McCayu. Chapter 1. About a week after Pitamakan, Jose and I arrived in Fort Benton from our long journey into Apache land. The Blackfeet packed up and trailed northward. They were to hunt buffalo on the plains of the Marias in order to get hides to tan into leather for new lodges. And then they were to move up to the foot of the Rockies for new lodge poles. During the week they had traded fine buffalo robes and their winter catch of various furs for about all the freight of the steamboat that had brought us up from St. Louis. Pitamakan, of course, went with his people, and he had not been gone 24 hours before the blues had a solid grip on me. I sorely missed him. The spring trade was over, and there was not a thing for me to do in the fort. Loafing is the hardest kind of work. "Our son is uneasy. His heart is away down," said Tesaki to my uncle one evening, as we sat before a small blaze in the fireplace of our quarters. "I've noticed that," he replied. "He hasn't enough to do. We will appoint him post-hunter." "But that would be to take old man Ravoy's job away from him," I objected. "Never mind about that. The old fellow is also uneasy, as your aunt says. I'll send him out beaver trapping for a time." So it came to pass that in the morning I went out to make a killing of meat for the 50 or more inmates of the fort. Two men followed me with two-wheel Red River carts, the huge wooden wheels tired with buffalo rawhide, the wooden axles groaning and squeaking with the nose that could be heard a mile away. We were about at the fort long before night, the carts piled high with all the buffalo and antelope meat that each straining cart horse could pull. But I took no joy or pride in my success. The day had long passed when the hunting and killing of big game gave me pleasure. On an average, I hunted every third day. It was astonishing, the amount of meat the employees and their Indian families consumed. Although, of course, with the exception of wild berries and pomme blanche, the edible root found everywhere on the prairie in the spring, meat was practically their only food. The day had not yet come when flour, bacon, beans, and sugar could be purchased in Fort Benton. I had been post-hunter about a month, and the monotonous slaughtering of buffalo and antelope was becoming daily more irksome to me, when one evening we were eating supper. Who should sum in with a how-how of cheery greeting but Pitamakan himself? "How, how?" we answered, and Tesaki jumped from her seat and embraced and kissed him. She was his aunt as well as mine, you will remember. "Sit down and eat with us, my son," Uncle Wesley genially commanded, and Tesaki hurried to get another plate of pemmican and some more well-browned roast buffalo ribs from the fireplace. As he took his place beside me, I gripped his hand, but said nothing. We understood each other without the use of words. "I am so glad you have come, nephew," said Tesaki. "Now tell us all the news while we eat." "My father and my mother send you all kinds of greetings," he answered. "As to news, there is little. The hunters have killed many buffaloes, and the women mostly have already enough leather for new lodges. We move camp to the mountains for new lodge poles soon, and from there we'll trail down on to Two Medicine to hold the Medicine Lodge ceremony. Day before yesterday, a war party of 13 Assiniboines was discovered sneaking toward our horse herds. We killed them all." "That is good news," Tesaki exclaimed. "Oh, would that I could have been there to join the scalp dance." "How about the hunters? Are they getting many beavers?" Uncle Wesley asked. Our talk was in Blackfoot. My uncle and I never used English when with those who did not understand it, and neither Tesaki nor Pitamakan knew a word of the language. "There are perhaps 500 or 600 skins in the camp, and when we go to the mountains, a great many of the woodcutters will be caught," Pitamakan said. The answer pleased my uncle. There would be a good fall trade at the fort. I could plainly see that Pitamakan had something important on his mind, that he had not come to us merely for a visit. And when we all rose from the table and moved toward the fireplace, I whispered to him, "What have you to say?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?